Okay, so we'll start Parshas Lech Lecha.
Lech Lecha.
So, let me first just give a brief summary of the Parsha, then I'll go into what I want to go into. Parsha has 126 psukim. The Parsha begins with the Tziv of Lech Lecha Me'artzecha Me'meladetecha Me'beis Avicha L'Aretz Asherecha. And Hashem tells Avram to go and hit the road. And Avram then goes to Canaan. And over there, there's a famine. Vahira of Ba'aretz has another Nesayin to see how, if Avram is going to be Maharach and Midosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Avram ends up going down to Mitzrayim. The Ramban explains that many of these things are Maisav Sim Labonim. Over there, Parai takes Sarah. And the episode with Sarah. And he leaves with, eventually Parai gets his punishment. And Avram Avinu leaves with Sarah with a lot of wealth. And right afterwards it says there was a Riv Bein Raya Mikna Avram Bein Raya Mikna Loit. And Avram tells, either you go to the right, I'll go to the left, or vice versa. And basically they split up. And Loit goes to Sodom. A few things about this point. It says right afterwards. It says Achrei. It says Hashem tells Avram Achrei he parred light meimoy. Hashem promises him about Eretz Yisrael. And Rashi says Achrei he parred light meimoy. That Kol Zman light was with him. He wasn't zeicha to nevuah. The Rashi's lashon. That means Avram Avinu all this time was sacrificing his spiritual growth because to take care of his nephew. His nephew was Haran's son. Was a yasam. He didn't have a father. He was also Sarah's brother, and he took him part of his entourage, Avram Avinu, and took care of his nephew, his brother-in-law, his nephew. And all this time, while Light was with him, Hashem didn't speak to him. But that's the sacrifice Avram Avinu made. And basically, they get into this fight, and they have to split up. So the Light picks a dime. And Avram Avinu went a different direction. Now, this story, I'm sure there's a lot of lessons to be learned from the story. One I just said is that how Avram Avinu took care of his mishpacha beyond any other consideration. That's obviously one. And how Avram Avinu avoided machlekes at all costs. And there's many, many lessons to be learned. One lesson that I see in this parasha is that this seems to be like a little episode in this parasha. He gets into a fight with his nephew, and he says, you pick your direction, I'll pick my direction. But if you really think about it, this was a prep. This HaKadosh Baruch Hu orchestrated this episode because this basically brought Mashiach. Because since Avraham Avinu split up from Light, he had to go to Sodom. When Sodom was turned over, Light had to run to the cave, and because of that, they thought the world was destroyed. Because of that, they got pregnant, the daughters of Light, and this became the story of how Mashiach was brought into the world. So sometimes it seems so inconsequential. It doesn't seem to have big ramifications, and episodes like this have tremendous ramifications. Okay, so after this, it's the story of the four kings against the five. That's the part of the parsha I want to go into over here. Right after that, the story, four kings against the five. Basically, the four kings fight against the five kings, and then they kidnap Light. And Avraham Avinu makes the supreme sacrifice to go. He didn't have an army; he had 318 people. And according to one medrash, he didn't even have that. He had only Eliezer and Avram. And it was literally the story of Rambam Biyad Me'atim, and Avraham Avinu gets back Light and gets back all the rechush. And then Melech Sodom says to Avram, you keep it, and Avram Avinu swears by Hashem's name that he's not going to keep it, so he shouldn't make a chil Hashem, that people shouldn't say, Ani Hasharti is Avram. That people shouldn't say that Melech Sodom made Avram Avinu rich. Okay, right after that is the story of the Bris of Ben Absarim, and it's the Haftacha that Klal Yisrael is going to get out of Yisrael, but first they have to endure for 400 years, Golos and Golos Mitzrayim, Vegam HaSagoy Ashi Yavodu Dan Anaychi. After that is the story of Hagar running away, and she sees the Malach at Be'er Lachai Ra'i, and there the Malach guarantees that she can have a child, Yishmael, and Yishmael is going to be a great nation one day. And she comes back to Avram Avinu, and they have a child, and right afterwards there's a tzivi on the Mila, and now Avram Avinu is, when he's born, he's 86, and right after when he's 13 years old, there's the Mila, and when he's 99. Then right after the Mila, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to have a child, and this is going to be Yitzchak. And that takes us to basically the end of the parsha. Avraham Avinu's name is changed to Avraham. Sarai's name is changed to Sarai. And they have a promise that they're going to have a child. And that's how Parshas Vayera is going to start off. Now, end of Parshas Noach, it says that Sarah didn't have a vlad, right? Sarah didn't have any children. Let me just get the lashon of the pasuk. Vatihi. Vayikach Avram v'nochalem nashim, vatihi Sarai akara ein lo v'lod. In fact, the Gemara in Yevamis says not only ein lo v'lod, ein lo beis v'lod. She didn't even have the capability to have. She was an islandist, the Gemara says. Torah emphasizes this. And the question is, why did it seems like Klai Yisrael had to almost be built on this? Why? Why? It had to be built from people that couldn't have children, and they had to wait 100 years to have children. Rachel, another Akari, right, it's true. Okay, so I want to explain this a little bit better. But before we do this, I want to go into the Parsha of the Four Kings against the Five. It's the, right after Avi, Perek Yudal. Vahi bimei Amraphel Melch Shinar. Okay, who's Amraphel? Rashi says Amraphel's Nimrod. He was the one that years earlier, right, this story of the four king against the five had to happen somewhere between Avraham Avinu being 75 and 86. So it depends what Acher Hadvar Me'ela means. But Vayhi b'mei Amraphel, Avram, it's many, many years since Amraphel threw him into the Kivshon Eish. So Vayhi b'mei Amraphel Melech Shinar, during the times of Amraphel Melech Shinar, that's Nimrod, Aryach Melech, Kedolim Melech Elam, Vesidol Melech Goyim, there was a war, four kings against the five. What's the message of the four kings against the five? Take a look at the Ramban. Hamaisa Zeir L'Avram L'Hairis, again, Maisav Sim Labonim, that this is the story of history. These four great empires, okay, Amraphel Melech Shinar, we know Shinar is Bavel. So there's going to be a king a kingdom called Bavel, and then there's a kingdom Elasa. The Ramban says maybe that's a Persian kingdom. Aryeh Kedolim and Mechelam, that's the Greek kingdom, right? These were massive kingdoms that the ancient kingdoms that ruled the world. Vesido Melch Goyim, that's the Roman Empire. So there's going to be, and the story is that there's going to be great kingdoms that's going to rule the world, and Klaiso is going to persevere and come in on top, and that's the general lesson of this parasha. Okay, so again, there's the four kings against the five, the four kings fight against the five kings, and Melch Sodom is on the five kings' side, and the four kings chase them. The Melch Sodom falls into the tar pits, Be'erois, Be'erois Chemar, and it looks like it's over for him. And the four kings go and wipe out the city of Sodom and take all their rechush. And it looks like the four kings are going to win, but they make a mistake. They kidnap Sodom. It says, "V'yichu es loit v'esuchushay." They steal his loit as suchushay ben achi Avram. Clearly, the pasuk is highlighting they kidnapped him because he was the nephew of Avram. Vayelchu v'hu yeshayit b'sedayim. Vayavi apalit, who's the palit? Different perushim. One pshat is Yigmal Chaboshin. Vayagid l'Avram Avrivri. They come running to Avram and they say, your nephew was kidnapped. So Avram Avinu was Maisa Nefesh v'yish Avram Kinnish Bachiv. When he heard his nephew was kidnapped, Vayorkez Chanisov Yilid Beisu. The Torah says he takes 318 soldiers. Vayidif Adon. Rashi says, based on the Gemara Nedarim, it's 318 soldiers, but maybe not. Maybe it's Eliezer of Avram. If you take a look at the Das of Canaan Valley Tysis, it seems to be both are true. The Pashup Shad is he took 318. But Avram Avinu conducted himself according to the laws of the Torah. And before you go to war, what do you have to do? You have to tell everybody at the war. If you're not holding on the right level, then turn back. If you're worried about Aver, you should be able to turn back. And all 318 deserted Avram. And Avram was left with Eliezer, whose gematri is 318. And I want to emphasize this soon, okay? They go chase him, and the Avram Avinu, these are the four most powerful kings in the world, and Avram Avinu beats them, and he gets back all the rechush, he gets back light, and Melech Sodom comes towards him and offers him all the rechush. He says, look, I gave up on it. I was miyayish. I gave up on it. And Avram Avinu says, I don't want it. Right? Vayim Melech Sodom, Avram Teli Nefesh, Rechush Kachlach. And Avram said, Hari Maisi Yodi El Hashem, I swear by Hashem's name, Kelly and Kenishmach, I don't want a shoelace in you. Mechut Vard Soich, now let me kach mikol shok. She shouldn't say, Vanyas Loisam Aniyash Ardis Ram. Just pay me what the Na'arim ate, and give that to Anaresh Gilamamre. Okay, so on and so forth. That's the story of the four kings against the five. Now, there's an extremely bizarre Gemara in Sukkah, which I want to read to you. The Gemara is in Sukkah, Daf Lamed Aleph. Listen to this Gemara, and then I want to read to you something from Reb Tzadik. The Gemara over there says that if you steal, the Gemara has a machlekes tanum if you're allowed to steal a sukkah and sit in it. The Gemara says the dispute is only if you kick some out of their sukkah, but if you steal their schach, everybody holds you yaitza. Okay, now why? Why? So the Gemara says different reasons, because even if you hold, if you steal something, it doesn't become yours. Even if you hold yish is not a kaina, but if you have yish and shini rishus, or yish and shini maisa, that is a kinyan. That's a legal discussion over there. And then the Gemara says even more. The Gemara says, and anyways, there's a halacha called takanas hashavim. If you steal something, the Torah says, v'heshav egzela shagazel. If I steal your beam and build it into my house, I don't have to return the beam, I just have to reimburse you monetarily. Why? So people shouldn't give up in doing tshuva. Okay, so the Gemara then records a story. Ahi Safta, there was an old woman. The Yosa Kameh Rav Nachman, she came to Rav Nachman. She said, the Reish Galusa, that was the Nasi of Bavel, Reish Galusa. The Reish Galusa of the Kula Rabbanan and his whole entourage of Rabbanan are sitting in a stolen sukkah. They stole my schach. They stole my schach. Okay, now, she thought that the reason why they took it is because she thought maybe they figured, oh, she probably gave up on it. Okay, so anyway, she said, and she said, I want to tell you, guys are not yaitza your sukkah. Okay, and Rav Nachman ignored her. So she screamed, Savcha, she's screaming. Rav Nachman didn't listen to her. Amra, she said such a bizarre thing. She made a reference to this week's parasha. She said, you know who I am? My Alta Zeda, Avram Avinu, had 318 servants. And you're not going to listen to me? And Rav Nachman says, you don't have to listen to her. And this Rashi explains either because it's a Yikanu Shina and Shina Rishos, or because Takanas HaShavim. But what in the world is she making a reference to our Pasha with the four kings against the five? She said, you know who I am? I'm the one, I'm the granddaughter. Let me read you the text of the Gemara. Do you know who I am? Amr Lehu. She said to Rav Nachman, Itasa, I'm a woman. Dahavle Lavuha. My great grandfather, Tlas Meir, Vitamli Sari Avdi. You don't know who I am? I'm the one that my Alta Zed Avram Avinu had 318 servants, like it says in Pashas Lech Lecha. What in the world is going on? Why is she making a reference to the story of the four kings and the five? What is going on? I want to read you something for Reb Tzadik. It's a beautiful idea. It's Kate, so say it over by Shabbos table. Give me a little schuss. Okay, Reb Tzadik was a big Polish Agoin. He lived from 1823 to 1900s. It's a rare sefer because it actually is a crossover sefer into the yeshivas. And many yeshivas, even the Lithuanian yeshivas, they learn Reb Tzadik's svarim. Not so much the pre-Tzadik, that's very more written in Kabbalah, with Kabbalah, but in the Takanas, the Takanas HaShavim and Sitka Satzadik, those Svarim are learned by everyone. It's a rare sefer. Okay, listen to what he says. Ein li Yehudi li Siyayish mishum davar. A Yid should never, I'm reading to you from Divrei Sefer Ma'is Tazayin. A Yid should never give up. A Yid, no matter, now he says, whether it's physically, a person has a financial matziv, or a health matziv, bein bin yoni haguf k'maishu kosef, afilu cherv chado, asaroi shal odom al yimona atzimim rachimim, when the person seems to be in dire straits regarding health, bein bin yoni anefesh, or let's say a person did a big sin in his life, and he thinks, is God ever going to forgive me for that sin? Bein binyani hanefesh, so spiritually, afilu nishtaka l'makim shenishtaka v'chote b'davish v'mechazal shein tshuva mayelos. There are certain averes that the Zohar says there's no tshuva, so he gives up. Or a person has personal demons that his whole life he's working on and he can't get out of it. He shouldn't give up. He should keep on trying no matter how many times you fall. Ki ein yush klal eitzel ish Yehudi. Vashem Yisboch Yachal Azar, keep on davening, don't give up. V'chol binyan Uma Yisraelis, the whole inception, the inception of our people, the very inception of our nation is built on unwavering perseverance in complete trust in Hashem. You hear this? Avram Avinu had to wait more than like 100 years to have children. He was married to an islandess. Sarah Akara Ein Lo Valad, Ein Lo Beis Vlad. The idea was Hashem showed him, don't give up. Keep on davening. 100 years you may have to daven for it. Hopefully not. Hopefully Hashem will listen earlier. But that's what our nation is built on, that we don't give up, whether it's beruchnias, spiritually, or begashmias. And a person has to believe this deep in his heart that there's nothing that Hashem cannot do. And if Hashem wants to, he will get it done. Okay? We're running out of time. I just want to skip down to the idea, what he says over here. Eliezer Ever Avram is Gematria 318. The name Eliezer is a biblical name. Moshe Rabbeinu had a son. When did he name him that name? In when he married Yisro's daughter, it says he named him Eliezer. Ki Elokei Avi BeEzri VeYatzilenu MeCherev Pari. Even when Pari took a sword and tried to kill him, so the name Eliezer represents God will help me. God could help me. Keli Ezer. Even Cherev Chadim Unachas Hatzavar Shalom. God could help me. That's what the name Eliezer. Now, what's the Gematria of Yishuv Tzadik says? Giving up is Gematria 317. Eliezer's Gematria, Keli Ezer, is one above Yish. You hear that? What the lady was telling Rav Nachman, she didn't know the legal halacha of Takanas Amarish. She thought that they took the wood away from him because they said, oh, she probably gave up on it. She's Yish. You know, she said, my grandfather, Avram Avinu, he had 318 servants. What was Avram doing this week, Parsha? He jumps with 318 to save light. Why is he doing this? Are you crazy? The world powers, it's North Korea, China, it's all these world powers. It's Amraf Melch Shinar, Ayoich Melch El Asar. And why did you say, look, I my whole life I've been trying to save light. I can't now. Avram Avinu did not get it. He was not Miyayish. That's the story of this Parsha. He was not Miyayish. And that's what Avram Avinu stands for. No Yush. He takes 318. And some say, who's the 318? Eliezer. What's Eliezer? One above Yush. One above Yush. That's Eliezer. And that's what she said. My Zayda had 318 servants. We're not Miyayish. And Rabbi Nachman said, because there's something called Tekanas Amar, Tekanas Hashavim. But in essence, she was right, that a Yid should never be Miyayish, no matter how bad and how dire the straits seem to be, there's always hope for a Jew in Klai Yisrael. Shabbos.
We have